Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Welcome and thank you for listening to the American Occupational Therapy Association's Living Life to Its Fullest podcast series. Each 15-minute podcast addresses a different way in which occupational therapy helps people prevent or live better after illness, injury, or some form of disability. Today, we will be discussing yoga. I'm Kieran Jacobs, a clinical professor at Boston University in occupational therapy, and I'm joined with my colleague, Sabrina. Sabrina, welcome, and can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, hi, Kieran. I'm an occupational therapist. I'm an inpatient and outpatient therapist, and I'm also the director for continuing education at HealthLink RX. As a yoga instructor, I teach classes to corporations and in fitness and wellness facilities in the United States. Thank you for having me.
Well,
I'm also
welcome.
A doctoral student, though, let me not forget, at Boston University.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, Sabrina, stress is very pervasive and ongoing. And today, stress seems even more, I think, talked about because of the demands of this modern 24-hour fast-paced work environment. And also because of sudden or chronic illnesses. Research suggests that yoga-based practice may help lessen the impact of stress in our lives. But first, could you describe some of the ways that the stress response can negatively affect our health? And if someone's under medical care already, that it might even affect therapy outcomes?
Yes, that's a great question. Yoga can definitely lessen the effects of stress. Stress itself affects every body system. Perhaps the most relevant for our listeners are the changes that stress affects the brain, which is decreased attention, concentration, and memory. And, of course, these changes then result in difficulty for clients to remember important information like their doctor's appointments or post-surgical precautions. The brain changes also result in an increased sensitivity to pain and anticipated pain, thus making the clients perhaps not as willing to go through medical procedures or therapeutic processes that are beneficial for their health, thus slowing down their healing. Cardiopulmonary changes are also a result of stress, usually in the negative way. That means that their blood pressure goes up, their heart rate goes up, and generally in a population that does already have elevated heart rate and blood pressure. Another change can be found in our immune system, making us a lot weaker and much more exposed to illnesses, again, slowing down that healing process that is just so important to be right on track. And then it even affects our digestion and, of course, our elimination. And painkillers also affect the elimination. So if someone's already experiencing heightened sensitivity to pain, takes more painkillers, then they're going to even have more discomfort with digestion and elimination. However, Kieran, it's important for us to realize that we're not going to be able to get rid of stress, certainly not if you're a patient. And short periods of stress are necessary for everyday life. What we're really talking about and what's really damaging is the chronic, ongoing, nonstop stress and, of course, how we respond to it. So what yoga can help us do is not so much react to stress, but perhaps respond in a more healthy and more wellness-oriented way to stress that decreases the effects of stress over our lifetime.
Well, that sounds great. And as you know, I do yoga, but not to the extent that you do. So when were you introduced to the therapeutic aspects of yoga?
Oh, as a yoga student about 20 years ago, and I started experiencing the physical benefits. I wasn't a therapist then, and I was just experiencing all these incredible physical benefits, such as, you know, increased balance, strength, flexibility, my posture improved. I was actually getting compliments on it, and I was like, this is amazing. And I started feeling just a lot more relaxed and a lot more calm and better able to concentrate at work. I went back to school, and once I became a teacher and occupational therapist, I realized that many of these benefits I could share with my patients, and I continue to see that every day, and the research continues to validate the efficacy of yoga-based treatments for therapeutic purposes.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful lived experience to share with us. Now, I know that most people have heard the word yoga, but it would be great if you could explain what is yoga.
Yeah, yoga is a 6,000-year-old Indian philosophy and system for total physical and mental health. The word yoga comes from Sanskrit, which is a very old ancient language, from the word yuj, which means union. And the idea is that through yoga practices, which the yoga practices include mindful body movements, breathing techniques, relaxation and meditation techniques, we're able to unite the many aspects of our being, which are our nervous system, our mind, our physical system, which is our muscles and our bones, and of course our thought and emotions, which are the relaxation and meditation techniques. And so one of the ways I've been able to kind of integrate these are kind of like just the postures alone would be helping our clients sit upright. Once they're sitting upright, then the breathing practices can help them breathe better and improve their cardiovascular system. So as you can see, yoga can really, really help the therapeutic process just by uniting those three very important components of our being and bringing them into therapy.
That's great. Now, how prevalent is yoga? And perhaps maybe just give us some statistics in the United States.
Well, the Yoga Journal just recently in 2008 did a survey with the Harris Interactive Service Bureau. And in the United States alone, 16.5 million people consistently practice yoga, which is a huge number.
Oh, it sure
is. Isn't that amazing? And 14 million of these report that a doctor or therapist recommended yoga to them.
And for the United States, that's about 6% of the population. So that's a large number.
Yes.
Now, what are some of the reasons people take up yoga?
Well, the majority of people surveyed reported taking up yoga to improve their overall health and fitness level. However, 45% of those agreed that practicing yoga would be beneficial if they were undergoing medical treatment or a medical condition. And current research from various fields has found that yoga techniques can be helpful in maintaining physical and mental health and improve healing and increase fitness levels.
So could you just elaborate a little bit more on who can benefit from yoga?
Well, based upon the research, which can be found at the NIH's National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine's website, and my own clinical experience, of course, yoga-based interventions can benefit the healthy as well as the very sick. Thus, it's appropriate in any setting. I've integrated yoga-based interventions successfully from acute care, inpatient and outpatient, nursing homes, hospice care, and, of course, my community and corporate health promotion and wellness programs.
So in those contexts, which it sounds like it could be any setting, what are some of the benefits of yoga practice?
The research shows that yoga practices, of course, is a big all, major one, reduce stress. That, in turn, increases the cardiopulmonary capacity and endurance, so our heart and our lungs are a lot stronger to do our everyday activities. The yoga practices also have been found to increase muscle strength and flexibility, everyday endurance, and they can strengthen bones and improves the posture, balance, and overall coordination, which is really important, especially for our seniors. It increases attention, concentration, and memory, decreases pain, especially low back pain. The research on that is quite substantial. And meditation has actually demonstrated to improve quality and quantity of sleep, improve the immune system functions, increasing antibodies, like after a flu vaccine, and to decrease depression and anxiety.
Well, that seems like a lot of benefits. So, you know, just how does yoga work?
Well, I know, those are a lot of benefits. The reason that there's so many simultaneous benefits, is, as I told you earlier, is because yoga practices improve all the body systems simultaneously. So, because stress affects the body, all the body systems, the relaxation response, which is caused through yoga, affects all the body systems except in the opposite direction. So, yoga can improve overall health by decreasing the overall damage to the body and mind caused by the stress response and replaces this response with healthier physical and mental responses.
So, Sabrina, in which cases have you found yoga-based interventions particularly clinically useful?
Well, what I love about yoga is that it's gentle and nurturing. So it's especially helpful with persons who are physically weak or fragile, anxious or depressed, and those who are in pain. And that's a lot of my inpatient clients. A lot of them have come out of surgery, and that's exactly how they're feeling. And I have found yoga to be very helpful for them. It's important to note that yoga-based interventions, the mindful body movements, the breathing techniques, the relaxation and meditation techniques, can be practiced either one-on-one or they can be practiced in a group setting. For example, when a person is practicing deep diaphragmatic breathing while performing their daily activities, they will notice that they are able to breathe better, their heart rate doesn't go up, and they're able to perform their ADLs, which is their activities of daily living, like dressing, without having to stop and rest because they're getting a lot more oxygen to those muscles. So, yeah, I like to think of yoga-based interventions as cream in one's coffee. They're not necessary, yet they definitely are absolutely wonderful if present.
Wow, that sounds great. Now, how might yoga be integrated into the therapeutic process even more?
Well, yoga-based interventions can be used as preparatory methods or as a purposeful activity on their own, which supports and facilitates the ability of clients to engage in their daily occupations. I have usually found that with most yoga-based interventions, they can be easily integrated into the activities themselves, into our occupations of every day. So, for example, whenever someone, as a preparatory method, I would say the occupational therapist can start with breath awareness, which would be like deep diaphragmatic breathing techniques, which would then calm the client who's maybe a little bit anxious about getting out of bed and transferring to the wheelchair. Research by Dr. Benson at the Harvard Mind Body Institute has demonstrated that deep diaphragmatic breaths induce what is called the relaxation response. And we may say, oh, relaxation, that doesn't seem very helpful for transfers. But by relaxation response, he means that instead of being resting and sleepy, he means it's an alert, active state that results in the parasympathetic nervous system being activated. So the person is focused, calm, and alert and can make those functional transfers a lot better than if they were anxious.
Well, Sabrina, that sounds great, but I'm going to guess that many people will say, I just don't have the time for yoga practice. You know, it sounds great, but I just can't put it into my very busy schedule. What would you say to them?
I would say, well, just like our patients in our hospital, they haven't got time to practice yoga. They're busy getting therapy. And OTs, we are able to integrate it into their therapy, into their everyday activities. So maybe a few little tips by your occupational therapist can help guide you to how best integrate many of these yoga strategies into your everyday life. And that way, our listeners can enhance their healing and health and wellness, just like our patients do.
Well, in the last couple of minutes that we have for this podcast, can you guide the listeners and me through a short yoga practice? Something that we might do at our desks. Yeah, something. I'm sitting at my desk now. Maybe you could guide us for the next minute or so.
Certainly. That's a great idea. Well, let's begin with like the yoga posture. So that would be the first thing. So have your feet firmly planted on the floor.
Okay, I've got that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sitting upright but not stiff, right? Ideally on those two little bones in your hips, right? And you want to make sure your shoulders are back and just gently, you can either close your eyes or just gently gaze at a point in front of you just to focus.
Okay, I'm doing that. That was
and
easy.
Then I know, right? So far, so good. And that's a yoga posture. So right there, you're already in a yoga pose. And you already feel how your lungs are able to breathe in deeply and breathe out deeply as you sit upright?
I do.
And we breathe in and out through our nose. And so that slows down our breath, which is a lot more relaxing than if we were to breathe in and out through our mouth. So breathing in just three breaths, maybe just to center ourselves. And then on the third breath, maybe lift up our shoulders up to our ears as we breathe in. And as we breathe out, just bringing them back behind us. And maybe do that a couple of times, breathing in and breathing out, bringing our shoulders behind us. And this focused attention of our breathing with our movement is what they call mindful movement. So we're doing the breathing techniques and the movements, and we're focusing on our breath and the movement simultaneously, which enhances your ability to concentrate.
Well, Sabrina, this was a great yoga practice, and I know that I'm going to try to do this on a daily basis. That's all the time we have for today. And you can continue our discussion on AOTA's online community, and that is located at www.aota.org. And we thank you for listening, and please visit our website. And to learn about more details for the next podcast of Living Life to its Fullest. Thank you, Sabrina.
Thank you for having me.